A strong biblical foundation is the baseline for Christian growth. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to build on principles from God's Word.
I don't think it was comfortable for John Bunyan, the author of Pilgrim's Progress, to be placed in prison because he would not take a license to preach. I don't think it was comfortable for John Huss to be burned at the stake. But these were men who said, I've got some discipline, doctrinal devotion in my life, and I don't care what happens in the world around me. I will stand up for Jesus Christ.
Spiritual discipline sounds great in theory, but putting it into practice takes time and determination. In our series, Building Below the Baseline, Pastor Chappell illustrates the importance of building the part of life that no one else sees, but God. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Our churches and homes today need Christians willing to build their lives on eternal truth rather than worldly trends. Our series today is designed to give us practical lessons that will help us pursue a life marked by biblical wisdom. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Building Discipline.
The last 2 weeks we have studied the crucified life and the Spirit-filled life. 2 weeks ago, we preached about what it means to die to self. And Paul the Apostle said, I die daily. And we learned last week that when we are emptied of self, then we are candidates for the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. Be not drunk with wine, where's excess, but be filled by the Spirit. And certainly below the baseline, there must be an endeavor, there must be a yieldedness to the Lord with respect to the crucified life as well as the Spirit-filled life. Well, tonight, we're going to look at another critical building block for the Christian life below the baseline as we build the foundation, and that would be the disciplines of the Christian life. The Christian life truly is designed to be a life of discipline. If one were to describe American society today, you could describe it as undisciplined, disrespectful, as a society that wants to live without bounds. There seems to be no discipline at all in the United States of America. And for those who want to retain dignity and discipline and a God-fearing idea, they are often ridiculed by the undisciplined, by the rebellious, by the anarchist. They are often the recipients of hate from those atheists and others who deny the existence of God and the order of God in our society. We live in a day when people, because someone even says they're a Christian, because someone even says they believe in God, a growing number of people in society would demand the court-martial of a Christian general just because he said he is a Christian. And by the way, these groups are winning court cases. And by the way, these groups have actually seen some chaplains and some officers lose their stripes and lose their positions and not have their promotion simply because they stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm saying that whenever there is someone who stands for order, when someone stands for godliness, when someone speaks of God and country, there is the undisciplined, there is the rebellious, God-denying person who will stand up against them in our society. Today, we had better take note of the fact there is an enemy tonight called Satan, and he has a target on the back of any Christian that determines to live a truly disciplined Christian life. It's a battle. Every one of us must recognize we're in a battle tonight, and the Bible teaches us that we are to be as good soldiers of the cross for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can't just nonchalantly go into this week, because if we do, it could be another marriage ruined, it could be another testimony ruined, it could be another Christian gone AWOL if we just nonchalantly enter this week. We must learn the disciplines of the Christian life tonight. Now, when we think about this disorderly, undisciplined society in which we live, we think of it as a society with no self-control or temperance. And if you've ever studied a little bit of the temperance movement of the 1800s and early 1900s, it was a movement that called for discipline, in particular in one area, in the area of alcohol consumption. And there were varying degrees in the temperance movement, some who called for a limitation of the use of alcohol, and many who called for complete abolition of alcohol and not using alcohol at all. But it was called commonly in the late 1800s and early 1900s the temperance movement. And the word temperance was used to call people to a disciplined life. Now, as the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth, how many of you who've ever studied the Corinthian church know they needed to understand temperance? They needed to understand the disciplines of the Christian life. And we see in the Word of God tonight that as the Apostle Paul writes to them, he speaks of the Christian life and he likens it unto a race. And he says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is," here's that word, "temperate in all things." If we are going to run this race, if we are going to finish this race, then Paul is advocating we must be temperate, we must be disciplined below the baseline at the beginning of the day when you're not with your friends, when you're not at church, when it's just you and God. There needs to be that disciplined walk whereby we are temperate in our approach to that brand new day. And this comparison to the race was relevant for the Corinthians. They were very familiar with the Greek Olympic Games. They were very familiar with the idea of coming into that Olympic Coliseum or stadium there in Corinth and going out to run their races. And they knew that you didn't have a big meal before you ran the race. And they knew that you weren't going to win the race if you were excessively obese. They understood that an athlete lived a disciplined life. He was temperate in all things. I remember my basketball coach in high school. I'm telling you, he thought basketball was the number one thing. I don't know why he had all the rules he had, but he said, "If you're going to be on this team, you're not going to have a girlfriend. We're not going to have basketball players thinking about girls and being on this team. If you're going to be on this basketball team, you're not going to drink Coca-Cola." That was one of his rules. "You're not going to drink Coca-Cola." I forget what all else they were. How many of you would agree? That's a pretty serious basketball coach. By the way, he was such a good coach, we wanted to play for him, and so we just acted like we weren't interested in Coca-Cola or girlfriends and just got on the basketball team and had a good time. But you know what he was telling us? If you're going to be on this team, you're going to be disciplined. You're going to discipline as an athlete. And the Corinthians understood the principle of temperance. And so it was that there, as they had the Isthmus Games there in the Corinthian area, there would be a time when they would gather together for their Olympic Games. And they would have opportunity to exercise physically and to run those particular races. Now here we see in the text tonight, by way of introduction, the Bible says in verse 24, "So run that ye may obtain." May I just simply pause to say tonight that we will not obtain the prize, and we'll see in a moment what the prize is, but you'll not obtain the prize if you don't finish the race. And may I say again tonight, there is no guarantee that we finish the race. And you see, the Bible teaches us to run all. And the Christian life is not a 100-yard dash, it's a marathon. And we're gathered here tonight to get strengthened. And we gather in the morning with the Word of God individually to be strengthened and to have the disciplines necessary. And so let's learn tonight about what it means to be disciplined below the baseline. First of all, if you're taking notes, I want you to notice the purpose of discipline. Why do we need the disciplines in the heart of each and every individual tonight? Verse 24, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all?" The reason we need this discipline is because we are involved in a spiritual race tonight. The word race is interesting. It is the Greek word stadion, from which we get the English word stadium. And it speaks to the fact that we are all in a race tonight. And as I understand the Bible in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." I do not understand in the sense of all of the depth and detail that the heavenly host understands and sees as they watch our lives. But I do believe from the Scripture that there is a sense in heaven about the race that is being run and about the ministry that is taking place here on this earth. And I do know the Bible says that there is joy in heaven with the angels over one sinner that repenteth. And so to the degree, I do not know, but there is in fact an understanding somehow in heaven concerning the race that we run even tonight. And we are all running that race tonight. And it is a course that has been set by God for each of us. And we each have our own lane, and we each have our own race. I do not know why some people in their lane experience wayward children. I do not know why some people in their lane experience sickness. I do not know why some people experience a layoff, or why some people have other forms of heartache. Every one of us who've lived a little while have been able to say, everyone has a different race that they run, but all of us have one goal, and that goal is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we must live a disciplined life if we would stay in the race. Hebrews 12, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Philippians 3 and verse 12, and not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Jesus Christ. You know, in the Christian life, we do not compete against one another. Wouldn't it be wonderful if some Christians could understand that? In the Christian life, it's not one Christian against the other. It's all of us looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in verse 24 that we are to run a race and we are to run all of the race. The Greek Olympians trained for 10 months at a time. The last month was a supervised time of training. And they would very, very disciplined in their way of exercising in that last month and preparing, much like our Olympic athletes today, in their training and in their preparation, are temperate and disciplined before the race. And so we must understand the necessity of discipline is because we're in a spiritual race. Why do we need to take time in the morning in our devotions? Why do we have a Growth Point midweek Bible study? Why do we emphasize Bible classes and Christian education? Why? Because we're running a spiritual race, and we need to be strengthened by spiritual weightlifting and spiritual understanding and the spiritual injections, if you will, that come from the Word of God. So we run the race, but also we're disciplined that we might obtain the goal. We must remain disciplined that we might obtain the goal. Notice what it says here in verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. This speaks of obtaining or receiving the prize that is given to the winner of a particular event. And you want to be disciplined that you might obtain the goal. I believe there are some sports where you could say that a particular team lost simply because they were not in as good of shape as the other team. There have been times when our high schoolers who are up here tonight have played against teams that are larger than them. I've seen our college as well play against teams with men that were 6'10 and 6'8 and much more talented. But I've noticed something about our players. Our coaches had them running and running and running, and they were temperate and disciplined. And because of that, they were fast. Right up until the last 60 seconds of the fourth quarter, they were able to defend and they were able to run with exactness. And all of that goes back to the discipline in the practice, and it brought the victory on the court. And I'm simply saying tonight, every one of us have a front stage life and a backstage life. And if we don't have discipline on the backstage, like these young people, to learn their lines, then we're not going to have victory on the front stage. There must be discipline privately as we live then a public life before the Lord and before the world. And so the goal was that they may obtain. Now our goal, what we want to obtain, is Christ's likeness and the conformity of Christ and the knowledge of Christ. Notice in Philippians 3, would you turn there for just a moment? Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 13. Philippians 3:13. The Bible says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said that I may know him and that I may know the power of his fellowship. And listen, God has called us that we may know the Lord and that we may walk in fellowship with him and that we may, as Paul said, put those things which are behind and reach forth to the greater relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I was talking to a dear man this morning, he may be here tonight, and just sharing some of the difficulties of his recent past before he was saved. And just some of the tragedies that had taken place. And I was glad to have just a moment to say to him, let me tell you, the Bible says, if you're in Christ, you're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And I don't know about you tonight, but I'm thankful for the fact that we can forget the things which are behind tonight and press on towards those things which are ahead. Amen. Don't ever ruin your future by living in your past. Lay aside those weights. Forget those past defeats and look to the Lord and stay in your lane and don't look at the other runners and don't compare yourself to someone else's supposed spirituality or supposed success, but keep your eyes on Christ and run the race that is set before you. And so the purpose of discipline is that we might run the spiritual race and that we might obtain the goal of growing into the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice secondly tonight, not only the purpose of discipline, but secondly, the practice of discipline. I think the purpose of discipline is fairly clear. We're in a spiritual race, and we're not going to get to the goal if we don't stay disciplined with the Lord. But then notice the practice of discipline. Look at verse 25, if you would. It says, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." Now notice the phrase, striveth for the mastery. That means to enter the contest. It means to contend with the adversaries. And there will be many difficulties in the Christian life. There will be many adversaries. And so the word striveth for the mastery speaks of stepping into the contest. It means not being ashamed of Christ. Sometimes I wonder if some Christians are even out on the track tonight. I wonder sometimes, where are the Christians who pass out gospel tracts? Where are the Christians who pray for their meal? Where are the Christians who go soul winning? Where are the Christians who are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? And I want you to understand tonight that there are many Christians willing to sit in the grandstands. But this passage is not about the grandstands. This is about those who enter the arena. This is about those who come with their spiritual boxing gloves ready to fight the good fight of faith. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5 and verse number 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Oh, we must then practice in our discipline. Now, how do we practice discipline? First of all, we must learn to be temperate in all things. Notice, if you would, in verse 25 tonight, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." Now notice again the word temperate. It means to be self-controlled. It means, as in the case of an athlete, to set aside things that would harm us in the preparation for athletic events. I think of the Greek athletes. The Greek athletes abstain from unwholesome food. They abstain from wine. They abstain from sexual indulgence. They literally said, "I want nothing more than to win the race, and I will be temperate as I approach the race." And they had a regimen of discipline. There ought to come some time in your life when you say, "I want nothing more than the power of God in my life. I want nothing more than the knowledge of Christ in my life. I'm willing to get up early to read my Bible. I'm willing to get up early to pray." Oh, there are many men that get up early to lift weights and to ride a bicycle and to do all things physical. And there's a place for that. But where are the men that will get up and pray and spend time with God? And where are the men who set aside the frivolities of this life in order that revival might come to America, in order that souls might be saved? Where's the stirring of the baptistry water because of men and women who say, "I must have souls or I will perish
in this spiritual battle? Where is the passion, I ask you tonight? Where are the men who would say, I must be temperate in all things that I may know Christ and that others may know Christ? I will spend time with Him. Oh, we live in the Laodicean church age where the average Baptist man knows more about the basketball game today than the message that was preached. There must be a love for the Word of God. There must be a love for the prayer closet. There must be a love for the things of God. I ask you, men, tonight, where's the passion tonight? Where's the temperate life you once lived when if you did not have the endowment of God, you could not go on one step further? You cannot raise your family without being temperate in this day. We cannot see godly teenagers without being temperate in this day. And so temperate speaks of abstaining from the distractions that would keep us from doing the work of God. Notice secondly, not only temperate in all things, but purposeful in all things. Notice in verse 26, please. The Bible says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Notice Paul was temperate in all things. Paul was purposeful in all things. He said, I don't just swing at nothing. He said, if I'm going to swing, I want to make it count. I'm not just going to beat the air. And he said, I'm not just going to run about uncertainly, but there's going to be a purpose to everything that I do. His life had a purpose, and that purpose was that he might win Christ, that he might be pleasing to Christ. The Bible speaks of it in chapter 9 and verse number 22. Notice, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. You see, the purpose of his discipline, yes, it was to know Christ, but it was also that others might know Christ. And he said, I want to live my life in such a way that others may know him and that others may see him in me. He was temperate in all things. He was purposeful in all things. Thirdly, he was controlled in all things. He was controlled in all things. Look at verse 27. But I keep under my body and bring it in unto subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Would you read this with me? Verse 27, ready, begin. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. It's a tragic day when someone who has preached to others becomes a castaway. When a father raises his children, look at here. Don't you put your children in the school with no intention to live for Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what we teach them Monday through Friday. If you're living a rebellious, undisciplined life, your children will follow that example. You see, the fact of the matter is, we need men tonight who will live a life whereby they are disciplined spiritually in the spiritual disciplines. I keep under my body, Paul said, and bring it into subjection. Oh, tonight, what a tragedy that there are young people that grow up in churches like this, and yet because of someone that abandons the faith, it just is so hard on their heart and their life. What a tragedy that oftentimes church leaders will go along for a while, and then they abandon their faith, and they go AWOL. Paul said, I don't want that to happen. He said, I don't want to be a castaway. I don't want to be someone that said something to someone else that I wasn't living out in my own life. I want it to be real in my life. And so he said, I keep under my body. This literally means that he buffeted his body. It means that he disciplined his body through hardship. And you've heard the old saying, no pain, no what? No pain, no gain. I have a friend who says it this way, no pain, no pain. That's his motto. Most of us don't like pain. But Paul said, I'm willing to go through some pain. Where are the temperate men today who will keep under their body? There's only one way to live that level of discipline. And it goes back to last week. That is to be filled by the Spirit. That is to walk in the Spirit. That is to listen to the Holy Spirit when He calls you to your devotions in the morning. When He calls you to soul winning time. When He calls you to church time.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter,
Go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's paulchappell.com.
We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.